Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
We're very happy and honored to have Bob Lentz with us this morning. Many of you know Bob. He is a treasure. He travels the world. I would not want his schedule. And he speaks, though, to over 500,000 people each year. Think about that, that God uses this man to communicate truth and the gospel to over 500,000 people. Some have called Bob a storyteller, some an evangelist, but I think when I think of Bob, I think of somebody who has a pastor's heart. He's not just a speaker that's going to be separate away from people. He wants to be with people. And if you're talking to him, you're the most important person in the universe, and he's got a pastor's heart. That I love about him. You know, it's been almost 30 years that Judy and I came to this place. And early on, God gave us a vision for a church of thousands. And as we were thinking about the why, what is going to be our purpose at Appleton Alliance Church, we settled on the two great commandments. We said that our vision is going to be to connect the world with God and then one another. It fulfills the two great commandments: love God, love people. Vertical relationship first, then a horizontal relationship. And I'm telling you, I don't know many people that have gone after that goal more of connecting the world with God and one another than Bob Lentz. Let's give him a warm Alliance welcome.
Wow, thanks, Dennis. That is the nicest thing anybody from the East Coast has ever said to me. do you know how blessed you've been here to have him as your lead pastor and now Brian? They couldn't be any different, could they? But do you know how blessed you are? Could you give the Lord a round of applause for what you've been blessed with leadership here? I'm so glad that the next service isn't until 10 o'clock, because I got a few things I want to say before I start, because Chris coming out here and sharing announcements from Discovery Land, and just the partnership in the church is so great. My home church is Christ the Rock. I text our lead pastor, Joel Ziner, this morning and said, I'm praying for you. Bring it this morning. I'm over at Alliance. He's like, man, we love it over there. We just feel like we're the church in Appleton together. And he said, bring it. And they are actually handing out tickets for evangelism for Thursday night at Life Fest as well. So I think God is doing something in unity, in prayer, like never before. And we had about 80 pastors come together for, we're calling it Extend the Impact for Life Fest. And Brian was out of town, and Chris had a meeting, a national meeting, that she couldn't make it. So I said, Chris, can we get together? And she said, sure. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. I missed the meeting about pumping up Life Fest. And I said, Chris, honestly, you're so awesome, but we don't need it to be pumped up. I said, we already sold more tickets than we did last year. I said, but we want Life Fest to be a tool for the church to be able to reach out to others. And so last year we gave out 7,500 tickets for the evangelism night, and then people paid $10 to come in. 2,200 of them came back in. 2,200 new people at Life Fest. Over 1,000 gave their lives to Jesus. That's Life Fest isn't ours. Life Fest is it's a tool. So this year they said, let's give them out for free. So we have 7,500 tickets to give out. So when Chris saw this, she goes, Bob, I love this. Can I do it through Discovery Land? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how many do you need, 80? She's like, 800. So there's 800 tickets, and to have these students say, who do we know that we want to invite? Invite them back to church. 18% of people who have left the church said they'd come back if somebody would lovingly invite them. Please see these as that tool. Use them where you go. And can I just say something? Like, every time I go out to eat now, when we're with the waiter or waitress, I'm like, hey, we're gonna pray for our meal. Is there anything we can pray for you for? You know, some people have, like, they give out, remember how they, we had tracks, not that they're bad, but they give out tracks. Did you know the worst tipping time of the whole year is Sunday afternoon? People going for, don't give them a track. Give them money. But then tell them about Jesus. The worst response I ever got was, I don't believe in that prayer thing. I said, well, I didn't ask you to pray. They said, yeah, I guess it won't hurt. The person came back and said, my mom has cancer. I said, can I pray for you? She allowed me to hold her hand and we just prayed right there. I was just at a Mexican restaurant. Thank God for Spanish people, hallelujah. And I just asked the waiter, it wasn't even our main waiter, he just brought the chips. I said, we're gonna pray for our meal. Is there anything I can pray for you for? He goes, yeah, I got a lot of anxiety. I'm like, can I pray? He's like, sure. I said, are you Catholic? He said, yes. I said, you believe in Jesus? He said, yeah. I said, so you're going to heaven? Oh no, I did many bad things, I'm trying. I got to share Jesus. And right there at the table, grab his hand and lead him to Christ. That's what it's about. And then, that's God, right? And then I'm like, we gave him a huge tip. A friend of mine says, you can't do it often, but tip the whole bill. Could you imagine? Then you tell them about Jesus, they may listen. So we tipped him and then said, hey, here, this is a ticket for Life Fest. Did you ever hear about it? It's $48 value Thursday night at Life Fest. We the Kingdom and Newsboys are gonna be playing, and this guy named Bob Lentz is gonna be giving a talk. I said, but even if they don't come, that's 7,500 conversations about Jesus. That's what we hope for. And then we can say, and my word for this year, and I think it's going on 2 years now, is hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Did you know it's the only word that's the same in every language? So this church supported me when I went last year to preach in Vietnam. And everything I said there, it's a communist country, and I had to give them my message, and they censored it, and I only could say it, and everything had to be translated. Except for when I said hallelujah, they said, I'm in Pakistan. We had police, armed guards with us. I felt so safe until the pastor told us, we're not sure if they're protecting us or spying on us. They said, you can say follow Jesus, accept Jesus, receive Jesus. Do not say convert or they could be killed and so could you. And I said, hallelujah. But then, even there, everyone said, I just came back a week and a half ago from Egypt. First time I was in an Arabic country where they spoke Arabic. But even there, everything had to be translated except for when I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means a loud shout unto God, praise unto God. And that's what we like about Life Fest. Some of you are like, we don't like that big of crowds. I'm like, yeah, go to Alliance, get over there. Right? And I love small churches, but I'm like, what are you gonna do in heaven? There may be little room for introverts. But God has called us in the community, amen? But hallelujah, and a friend of mine just showed me hallelujah, it's J-A-H, but they said that many times it's actually Y-A-H, it's Yahweh. So a little sneak preview, I'm doing a message that I wrote 20 years ago at Life Fest, but I'm gonna redo it. And it's when the world says no way, we say Yahweh. You gotta look at this, right? This is the actual, because they don't have vowels in Hebrew. That's what it is. And there's a line inside of our lungs, right? When the world says, so when one person says Yahweh to God, like, you don't really believe that a virgin became pregnant. No way. You don't really believe that he was sinless and totally God. No way. You don't really believe he died for you. No way. And you believe he rose from the dead? No way. And you can know you're going to heaven? No way. But watch this. Yahweh, breathe with me. Go, Yahweh. Ready? Did you know Christianity isn't something that was supposed to be added onto your life? Christianity is the very breath that you breathe. It's why you were created, right? So when the world says no way, we say no. So what is it? Praise Yahweh. It's hallelujah. It's hallelujah. I had a hallelujah day 12 years ago when our third daughter, we got a redhead. Ooh, that was a surprise. Joyelle got married and she found the love of her life. I think we got a picture here, her and Levi. I got to walk her down the aisle and then do the wedding. What a hallelujah moment. But for me as a dad, the best part was the father-daughter dance. And she picked butterfly kisses. Yeah, right? So I'm like, with that exuberance of joy, and yet content. Like sometimes I'm really happy, but I'm not at peace and content. You know what I mean? There's excitement, but this moment was hallelujah. It was so exciting and so shalom at the same time. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for the non-believer. That's what I want for people to be able to say, hallelujah, that this is the best day ever, right? Some people do that. Best summer ever. Best day ever. Best family ever. My family always made fun of me. You're like, we're a Christian family. We're going to have fun. Whether you like it or not. But hallelujah, right? There was a time I was speaking at Bethel University, and I love speaking to 18 to 21-year-olds, especially when they are going to Christian college. Not that they have to, but they're planning on how do we make an impact in this world? How do we bring a piece of heaven to earth, right? How do we advance the kingdom? And I just love it so much. But the president was telling me that they were going through some financial tough times. A lot of Christian universities are right now, and ministries. And he said, we got an end of the year gift at Christmas for $1 million. He said, I'm sitting at my desk and I opened up, I opened up, I'm like, hallelujah. He said, I jumped like this, tears started coming. He literally tipped over on his chair. He says, but my arms didn't go down. He said, I'm laying on the ground, just worshiping God. He said, I was so excited. He said, I went and told the professors and the teachers and students. He said, then I had to call the donor. I want to say thank you. So I called him. I said, hey, we got your check. Thank you so much. And the donor said, I'm so glad you called. There's been a mistake. That was made. That was meant for Bethel University in Minnesota. Not Indiana. Could you send it back? Did you feel the air sucked out of this room? Did you ever get a sucker punch? Where you just lose your breath? It's like you won the lottery and then you lost the ticket. Some of you are there right now. Your last year has been like a hurricane. Or maybe there's pain in your past, or shattered dreams, or broken promises, or failed relationships, or the death of a loved one, or you're struggling with chronic pain that just doesn't go away, or continual health issues, or failed resolutions, or a failed marriage. For some of you, one of the deepest pain I see in Christians, and I say in our age, my wife and I have 5 grown kids and 14 grandkids. But one of the deepest pain I see with some of my friends is you saw your son or daughter dedicated like this morning. You saw them come to personal faith and were baptized. And they've walked away. And you go, how do I say hallelujah now? How do I say hallelujah in the midst of that tornado, in the midst of that storm of life? We need comfort and joy. But hallelujah, comfort and joy, hope was born. And hope is a person. Hope is a person. His name is? is not just an idea. It's a person. In Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Jesus Christ is the same. And forever. And he is hope. That's what we have to believe in. What are you going to hope in? The government? Really? I'm sorry. Is this the best we can do? I'm just saying. The hope for this country is not going to come from government. Be involved. Vote. But it's not going to come from the government. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. Put your hope in faith. Put your hope in family. You are the hope of this world because you have the hope living inside of you. And his name is Jesus. He's the only hope for you, for me, for America. It's been said that one moment with God is better than 1,000 hours of programming. Now, don't get me wrong. I love programs. I love podcasts. I love the technology that we get to use for the kingdom. But none of this can change a heart. Now, I know Jesus is with us always, right? He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But there's something about the manifest presence of God. Like, I know he's always here, but when you get to spend time one-on-one, there's something that happens. We want to have a time with Jesus today. I don't want you just to have a service. I want you to have an encounter. Christianity is not a feeling, but it is an encounter with a living God. It's more than religion. It's more than a set doctrine. Doctrine's important, but it's a person to be known, loved, and worshiped. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, but I got to tell you this. Can I just pick on the guys a minute? At one time, we're going to have a prayer time at the end, but at one church, we had an actual call for the altar and people could come forward for prayer. And the guy said to me, I can't go up there. I said, why not? He said, my family needs me strong. And I can't let my wife or my kids see that I'm not who they think I am. They can't see me going and admitting my need like that. I'm like, what? Really? Show me one woman in here who's married who wouldn't love to see her husband at the altar crying out saying, I can't be the man I'm supposed to be without you. Men, the highest place on earth is still at the foot of the cross. Amen? It's still at the foot of the cross. What kid wouldn't love to see their dad up here going, I want to be more like Jesus, and I can't do it on my own. That's works, right? I need more grace. I need more Jesus. God is looking for a man and women too. But the reason I challenge men, 70% of Christian books are bought by women. 70% of Christian music bought by women. 70% of people in church on Sunday morning, women. It's a challenge to us men, something about our ego. So God is looking for a man humble enough to admit that he's proud, strong enough to admit that he's weak, rich enough to admit that he's poor. According to the Bible, lukewarm Christianity isn't somebody who's struggling and compromise. According to Revelations chapter 3, it's only in the Bible once. It says, I am rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. An on fire, hot Christian man is someone who says, I need more. Can you admit your need this morning? Can you say, that is what I need? So today, I hope that we can say hallelujah in the presence of our enemies. And I hope that you find hope today, the hope of eternal life, but the hope for every day. But hope is not just for the future. Hope has to deal with the past, because there's things in your past that are trying to hold you back from enjoying today and what you're supposed to be in Jesus today and for your destiny where you're supposed to go. So can hope stand for today? Healing over past events. Would you say that with me? Healing. One more time, a little louder. Who wants hope this morning? I want hope. I want hope to be able to face every day. But it shouldn't just come from a story. It has to come from the Word of God. So if you want, you can look in Exodus 15:26. It says this. For I am the Lord. I am the Lord who heals you. We all know the word Jehovah Jireh, right? The provider. I never got to study all of these, but like Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. But the healer, it's this, listen to this, Jehovah Rapha. I just like that, right? Jehovah Rapha, say that with me. Jehovah Rapha, you're like, Bob, you're making me repeat too much. I want you to remember this, all right? One more time, Jehovah Rapha, all right? The God who heals. But people have said to me, but Bob, the pain is so real. The loss is so deep. The hurt is so blinding that we can get stuck in our grief. It's been 6 years since I lost my brother. And I wish I could say that God speaks to me. He does. He speaks to me through his word, through creation, through friends. But I wish I could say he speaks to me more through his spirit. But sometimes I'm so busy, you gotta be still and listen. But I can tell you, God spoke this to my heart about my own grief. God said, being miserable is not grieving. Can I say that again? Being miserable is not grieving, it's getting stuck. Grieving is good, natural, and healthy. Grieving is facing any emotion, any question, from sadness to rage, from loss, even questions and doubts. One of my favorite verses right now is, Lord, I believe, help me with my... That's authenticity. That's real faith. That's room to grow. But here's what we got to do. We have to face it and name it so that it doesn't own you. There is pain in our life. There are mistakes in our life. There's sin in our life done to us or that we've done that have owned us. A friend of mine just said, we should, as Christians, it should be illegal to look at our past except through the cross of Christ. Because when you look through the cross of Christ, then we can find hope. We can find hope for today and tomorrow and healing over those past events. Please hear me. Whatever your pain is, I'm not trying to make light of your pain. And that's why I even shared my own. But I want you to know this. No matter how big, no matter how horrible the events in your past are, God is bigger still. That God is bigger still. We used to have a 24-hour hotline in a counseling center, and a guy came in 25 years old, and he told me that he never cries. I'm like, come on, everybody, you're a guy. You just don't cry in public. No, I don't cry. I'm like, come on. He goes, well, I remember the last time I cried. I was 10 years old. He started telling about his childhood. I started to cry. He said, my dad never read me a book. My dad never threw me a ball. My dad never took me fishing or golfing. My dad never came to a sporting event. My dad was either working or at the bar, or if he was home, he was drunk. And you didn't want to be near him. He said, but when I was 10, my dad came home with a new train track. And he said, son, you want to put this together, me and you? He said, I literally like, me, Dad? Yeah, come on. He goes, thanks, Dad. And he gets it and he starts putting it together. But he was a real man. So he didn't read the instructions. Noah wouldn't have been lost for 40 years. He would have stopped and asked, all right? But he's trying to get together and he was getting frustrated. And you know how it gets tense then? And the boy's like, that's okay. He still wants to be with me. But also he starts swearing. It got more tense and more frustrating. And so the mom goes, hey, why don't you guys take a break? Come on, I made some sandwiches. And the dad looks at the mom and said, you're the one that told me to play with this stupid kid. And he said, my heart was crushed. And I ran to my bedroom and I locked the door of my bedroom, and I believe the door to his heart. And he cried until that pillow was soaked. And he said, nobody will ever hurt me like that again. I think his commitment saved him from some pain, saved him from some people hurting him. But you know what else it blocked out? Community, friendship, love, hope. He needed to say, yes, I know there's going to be hard times in this world. You will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What we need is to know that it's okay to grieve, not to get stuck, but to grieve. When I was in Vietnam, you as a church actually supported me to go there. The woman who put it on, she was a doctor, a medical doctor, Dr. An, and she said this, so many times we try to ignore the events of the past and we live in denial and they come out sideways. Do you ever come out sideways to somebody? Like, where did that come from, right? Instead of having a good cry. She said, when you cry, you release stress hormones. You release cortisol, which actually helps you sleep, and it strengthens your immune system. And she says, as a doctor, I want to talk about the benefits of crying. You're like, are you talking about the benefits of crying? It detoxifies you. It's a mood balancer. It's soothing. It dulls the pain so you don't turn to drugs or food or the internet or porn. Did you know they tell me that 70% of Christian men still look at porn monthly? Why? What's going on? It's time to turn. It helps you recover from grief, and it also welcomes others. You got people that are pushing away from Jesus in the church? It's because they think we're hypocrites, like we act like we have it all together. But when you cry, when you're broken, when you're authentic and you say, I don't have it all together, but Jesus does. You can't heal in isolation. The fool separates. That's why we have life groups. That's why you do things together. That's why you have small groups. That's why you need somebody. Who carries you? When the paralytic couldn't carry himself to Jesus, he had four friends that carried him, right? They brought him through the roof. Aren't you glad you're not my friend? But that wasn't planned. Who carries you to Jesus when you can't carry yourself? Again, please, guys. Most guys can't recognize four guys in their life. We need each other. Don't live in isolation. When you cry, it's like a baby taking its birth, first breath. But people say to me, where's God? Where was God in all the pain? Where was God in all the hurt? Where's God in all the unanswered prayers? Again, we got to turn to scriptures. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody has when they all stink. That wasn't planned either. We got to go to the Word of God. I don't know how 40 years of being a minister, I missed this verse. Psalm 56, 8. Where is God? He was collecting every tear. Psalm 58, 6 says, since you keep track of all my sorrows, you've collected all my tears in a bottle. You recorded each one of them in your book. Can I say to you directly, he sees you. He hears your cry. He feels with you. Let him embrace you. Let him hold you. Whether it's tears of joys or tears of sadness and sorrow, they're a gift. Jesus got mad. We always remember him tipping over the table. But he also said, I played a song for you and you didn't dance. Sorry, Baptist. He wants us to dance. Come to Life Fest, dance. But then he said, I played a dirge for you and you didn't weep. Jesus was upset when we weren't real. He wants to be there to dance with you and in your sorrow to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. Did you know that you produce 5 to 10 ounces of tears a day? That's 15 to 30 gallons a year. My kids say that I use every ounce. If you have a disease, it's called dry eye, you have to buy tears. Guess how much they cost? $20 an ounce. You know how much you owe God? Your life. We owe him our life. My friend Jill, who went to high school with, she actually attends here, lost her husband to COVID a few years ago on January 7th. And I remember calling her after Christmas and saying, Jill, how you doing? She said, I cry a lot. I said, that's okay. That's good. That's healthy. That's normal. She goes, but I also worship a lot. You know that new song by Maverick City? He is worthy of it all. She's like, I sing it almost every night so I can go to sleep together. Is she totally healed? No, she lost the love of her life. Is she healing? Yes, Jehovah Rapha. Because I was at her church, I asked, is it okay if I share your story? She says, if it brings hope to one person, yes. Can you just give her a round of applause to tell her you're praying for her and you love her? Tim Keller said, we are so quick to tweet, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, but we're slow to pray. We spend hours on the internet, but minutes on our knees. Whenever anyone asked him if he has any regrets in life, he just passed. He said, I should have prayed a lot more. And that's an understatement. I want to have a time of prayer at the end. And I'm going to pray and trust and hope in faith, expect God will touch us, to raise a hallelujah in the presence of our enemies, because he is Jesus the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, healing over our past events. Why? So you can say, Jesus owns me. Not my pain, not my past, not my sin, not the abuse, not what somebody did to me. Jesus owns me, and he is making me new. He has made me new, and he is making me new, and one day every tear will be wiped away when heaven comes to earth. Again, I'm not making light of your pain, but I'm showing you how big God is, healing over past events. About 2 months ago, I preached this in Thailand, and I had people come for prayer. And this guy came up and he said, I've been engaged twice. And both of them broke up within a week of the marriage. This last one I was with for 10 years. And I'm like the guy in your story. I've closed my heart. And I said, I'm not going to hurt again. I'm not going to love again. I'm like, then what are you doing at this altar? He goes, your stupid message. I said, well, I can make a promise to you. If you open up your heart again, you can experience God's love right now. And I promise you, you'll never be hurt again. Do you think I said that? No, I looked at him and said, you know what church hurt is? It's church. Because we all hurt each other. We're all sinners. Hurt people hurt people. But healing people heal people. So I said, I can't promise you you'll never be hurt again. But I can promise you that the bigness of God will be there to heal you. And it's worth it because you can feel that love. You can feel and experience that love. He said, I want it. I said, surrender, raise your hands and just surrender to God right now. He raised his hands. The worship team came back and there was a 15-year-old Thailand girl singing, and she started singing an old song that was, he loves us, oh, he loves, that's why I don't sing, loves us. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And he goes, that used to be my favorite song. I said, yeah, I know. That's why I set it up with them to sing it right now. I said, who do you think just did that? That's how personal God is for your hurts. He cares about your kids. He cares about your family. He cares about your pain. Will you trust him? He just had a moment with Jesus with an outreach that night at Thailand, and he came. He goes, Bob, guess what? I'm like, what? I got a joy of the Lord back. I'm like alive, and you know what else? I'm like, what? He's like, I want a wife again. I'm like, no. Let me just say this. I just celebrated 40 years of marriage. Besides the divine love, love is alive, and God still designed marriage. And I said, you may be hurt, but it's worth it. That's what I want for every person here, to be able to say, hallelujah, praise God. Whether we're being blessed or we're going through a hard time, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hope, healing over past events, trusting God for today. Assurance of heaven, sharing it with others, and becoming more and more like him every day. I want to close in prayer, but I want to start with the men. Men, would you, if you humble yourself and say, I want more hope, hope of glory. Hope is a person. His name is Jesus. Men, would you lead the way? And if you want prayer, would you stand? And just where you're at, and if you need extra prayer, the elders will be out by the hub, that's by the fireplace, and they'll be there. But men, would you stand? And I'd like to pray for you right now. Do you know what could happen to this valley, to this state, to this country, this world? If men would run to the foot of the cross again, Dave, it's still there. The highest place on earth is the foot of the cross. Women, sisters, I want to apologize because a lot of your hurt has been at the hands of men. The church, we want to affirm you and be part of the healing for you. Women, if you have a need that you want God to touch, would you stand at this time? Holy Spirit, you're here, but I'm asking for supernatural visitation. We're trusting not on our emotion, but on the Word of God. We're trusting on the Father, Son, and Spirit. You bring hope. You are hope. I pray for the chains of the past, of the pain, of the abuse, of the anxiety, of the depression, to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for wholeness and discipleship in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I pray for a revival among your people that results in an outreach like we've never seen before. Lord, allow us to cry and then wipe away the tears. Give us hope like never before. And we will not bow to this world. We'll stand for the glory of Jesus Christ. Give us hope. If that's you, would you just raise your hand in a sign of surrender? Raise your hand in a sign of surrender and say, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Hallelujah. Will you say that with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether from joy or pain, one more time. Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Amen. Got a book called Hope out there. I'm taking every Wednesday off this summer to be with our 14 grandkids. So please buy one. We need gas for the jet ski. No, all the money will go back to reaching more people for Christ. My wife is actually out at the table. Go and say hi. God bless you. Live in the hope of Jesus Christ. God bless you.